Texas is known for its writers of almost every genre, but maybe not so much for its writers of horror. And that could just be an oversight. Texas has a talent pool that has a dark side. There is so much about the Lone Star State that is lurking in the shadows and haunting the recesses of our minds. The current leading Texas horror writers have now been collected in a new anthology called Roadkill, Texas Horror by Texas Writers. E.R. Bills is one of the editors.
It was important when we were doing the book, you know, the Roadkill book, that everything, the writers had to be living in Texas and writing about things that happened in Texas. So it was all sort of based on, you know, a Texas vision of horror. And there are Texas antecedents of this. You know, for example, you know, the Zodiac Killer in California doesn't have anything on the Phantom Killer of, you know, Texarkana in the late 40s, which they made that movie about, The Town That Dreaded Sundown. And, of course, later, you know, Jason from Friday the 13th and of course, Michael Myers from Halloween, they don't have anything on, you know, Leatherface from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And so Texas horror, I would say, is a little fiercer and a little farther out in some ways than typical horror. And again, it's usually Lone Star centric, I guess, but there's a rawness about it. And it almost seems like there's a temptation to go even farther than the normal stuff in many cases. I tried to collect some stories that just reflected, you know, the landscape, just the fierceness of our character and our interpretation of horror. You know, there are some things that go on in Texas. People say everything's bigger in Texas. You know, we're described with all these superlatives. Well, horror sort of falls under the same umbrella. It's here in Texas. It's worse. It's darker. You know, there were friends of mine that would say, you know, you do this, you do that. You know, somebody guts you and leaves you hanging in a barn in Texas somewhere. There are expressions like that. We're like this far out, still sort of frontier mentality. And obviously, in terms of politics, this idea of secession, it's like we'll go a step further, Texans in general and Texans and their horror.
What really scares many the most is the familiar, things that we know because it seems so much closer. And so when you have Texas horror writers writing about Texas locations and things that we know about here in Texas, then somehow it seems all that closer to the bone when you write about the scary aspects.
Joe R. Lansdale out there in East Texas, that's been a lot of his career as a horror writer. Everything is based in Texas, especially East Texas. And if you go and you read his prose, it's very recognizable. I mean, it has our twang. It has some of our attitude, some of our swagger. But then it has some of the very basic and fundamental, you know, things we take for granted turned on their head. And he's just made a career of it. And it's fascinating and it's very compelling.
So what about horror in and of itself? What makes a good horror story?
It needs to be compelling. It needs to be suspenseful. And in my opinion, it needs to really grab you in a place maybe you're not terribly comfortable with. In the case of Roadkill, there are stories in there that talk about rituals, Mexican-American rituals. There are stories in there that talk about cyber culture up in the Dallas area, you know, that's something that we're all growing to embrace, but the possible consequences of that. There are stories in there. Yeah, there's one story there that talks about, I mean, Texas Rangers are long revered. There's a story in there that talks about a demon that confronts a group of Texas Rangers and literally starts to possess them one after another. And those are, like I said, long admired Texas heroes and representative of the state. The daily life we live, I think, even is full of horror. I mean, I've sat in traffic jams on 35 and had I-35 and had some pretty scary thoughts about what I'd like to do or, you know, about whoever's in front or whoever's driving slow. I mean, we have these impulses in modern society. And like I said, most of the time we don't act on them. But there is a horror inherent in these impulses. And in our imaginations.
But using the Texas palette of all the different icons that we have and the rich history and stories that we have about our cultural heroes, it's interesting to put that horror twist on these things that we have.
No, that's a great way to put it. I mean, there has, you know, we all love We all love Texas, great state, great place to live. But you know what? A lot of unpleasant things have gone on here, even some unjust things to several of the communities, shall we say. And
sure, the lynchings, you know, we've had.
Yeah, people burned at the stake. Some of the massacres of Mexican Americans and just the Indians. And so this, yes, you're right. This
we've also had the UT Tower shooting, which was the first mass shooting. We've had the Candyman killing.
Yeah, that was invented in Texas. That whole idea of people passing out tainted candy and somebody dying, that actually happened in Houston in the 70s. I mean, it's kind of a forgotten tale, but the UT student went down to South Padre for spring break and got kidnapped by a satanic cult, and they removed his spine. You know, crazy stuff, you know? And so, yeah, the whole area is ripe for horror, and there are plenty of ghost stories from the oral tradition from all over Texas. One of the writers in the book, David Bowles, just released a collection of ghost stories of the, you know, the Rio Grande Valley. But there are stories all over Texas, and there are ghost walks in places like Jefferson and Texarkana and that are fascinating, and there are haunted places here in Texas. So it's kind of surprising that something like this wasn't done before, frankly, to me, because I thought there would have been, and we were shocked to find out there wasn't, because, as you said, the state is ripe for this kind of writing and for this kind of audience.
So you have Joe R. Lansdale in the book, as he's one of the contributing authors, and he's like the big standout. He's a big player now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's been writing since the 80s. He started out in horror, and now he's more in crime fiction. But, of course, his film Bubba Hotep is a cult classic in horror. It takes place in East Texas. And then he had a movie a few years back, Cold in July, based on one of his works, and now he's got a series on Sundance, the Happ and Leonard series. And so he's a giant, really. He's the Stephen King of Texas, and he's just a huge figure.
You have a number of authors. Are these the up-and-coming writers of Texas horror?
Yeah, there's one named Joe McKinney, who's actually won 2 Bram Stoker Awards, and he's out of San Antonio. He's an up-and-coming writer. There's a guy named Russell C. Connor, who's got a story about the body farm they have at Texas State University, where the FBI takes donated bodies and places them in dirt and water and out in the elements to see how it affects and decomposes the body for future investigations. I didn't even know that place existed, but he's got a story about that. He's out of the Metroplex up here. 3 Mexican-American writers, 2 from the Valley, and their names are David Robledo and David Bowles, and their stuff is great. And then the third one is a woman named Carmen Gray, and she's got a great story about the unfortunate plight of an underage sex slave in Austin. It's a really compelling story, and it's getting, you know, sort of rave reviews. But we tried to get writers from all over the state to participate, and we just took the best material we could find.
That's interesting about the sex slave story, sex trafficking. That's a reality.
Not
fiction, and it is horror. But what is the crossover? I mean, is horror supposed to be an escape from that type of the real horrors that we have in reality, or does it matter?
We probably have a different slant. A lot of the horror you see is escapism, and there are elements that, you know, you're sort of taking on or exploring this other existence. But in the case of Roadkill, we've got stories in there. Horror doesn't always have to involve a supernatural entity or even the paranormal necessarily. It can just be, in the case of the story about the body farm, about a horrendous environment and the way the characters navigate it. And it can be filled with horror. And so also, you know, the life of this young Latina and what she's dealing with, it's horrifying. And it stays with you, you know, after you put the book down. It's one of them that really grabs you. There's not so much of a, there is sort of a supernatural element, but that's not what grabs you. It's like the conditions that she lives in as the tourists for Austin City Limits come through and they make their big push, you know, to make money. And it's just crazy. And just to think that stuff like that goes on, I kind of found it refreshing that we just didn't have, you know, ghosts and goblins that could be easily dismissed as fanciful or make-believe, but we actually had, like I said, situational sort of real horror that it's not so easy to forget or just say, oh, that's just something they made up. So I'm well pleased with the diversity of the collection, the breadth.
And what do you think about people who turn their nose up at the thought of reading horror, not really, you know, worthy of deconstruction?
Well, I think they miss out on a lot. But I think horror and things like sci-fi have a place because they really challenge us in ways that just typical dramatic literary effort doesn't. And I think that's good for all of us. And I think it's compelling. I think people have been moved by it, you know, ever since it started being written.
E.R. Bills is co-editor of Roadkill, Texas Horror by Texas Writers.